wonderful thing and a fearful thing to stand in the presence of an Almighty God. I'm so glad that we stand in the presence of a very loving God who came for the express purpose to save sinners, to change lives, take people from darkness and bring them to light. The Lord is a wonderful, mighty God. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And I thank Him for all that He does for us. Thinking about where we in this nation, especially, it seems like there has developed almost a championing of things that are not manly. All the manly qualities are almost denigrated. You know, a man, God intended for men to have some foundation to stand on, something they know and believe, and is able to stand there. Because God said it. Now, that's a foundation first. I want to think about that foundation just a little bit. And God said it this way. Jesus said it this way. He said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." There is a foundation that the Lord Himself has provided for you and I. And that is a personal revelation that God and I, that you and I can know. There is a God in heaven. You remember what Jesus said? He asked a question to His disciples. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" Well, they came up with a lot of different answers. People had been talking, they had been hearing it. And they related all those to Jesus, and Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" And that's where the question really is going to come down to every one of us tonight. Who do you say that He is? There was a man named Saul, who later was called Paul. He was on his road to Damascus with a purpose and intent. And the Lord met him there. Up until that point, He didn't call him Lord. But there was a time when Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and brought him down in humility. And from his dust of humility, he looked up and said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest." I want to tell you, it is much better for us voluntarily to humble ourselves tonight and call Him Lord and Savior. And then He provides, you remember what He told Peter? He said, "You're blessed." Because it wasn't just humans that gave you this. It wasn't just flesh and blood that revealed this to you. It was My Father. God wants to reveal to every one of us something so solid to stand on. That we can build our lives from this point forward. Some of you young people may get tired of us older ones being so concerned about you. But let me tell you, there's some reasons why. Because a lot of future hangs on you. And you're making decisions right now that you have no ability to understand the importance of, the depth of that decision. And some of us older ones stand with, or maybe kneel, with tears in our eyes and begging God to help our young people get a hold of something real. And I hope tonight, it's one of my greatest prayers that our young men, especially our young ladies also, but especially that our young men will get a hold of something real. And you'll have a foundation to build a life on. Something that you know is real. Something that the gates of hell will not prevail against. That you'll have something that you can go forward in, and when everything is crumbling around you and you're left with nothing but your foundation, you can still say, "But it's God." And you'll stand there because it's right, because God said it. I'd like for you to turn with me in the Scripture over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, the 13th verse. Here He says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, Quit you like men. Be strong. So he starts off here and he says, watch, stand fast in the faith. Then he says, act like a man. Act like men. Men, today, many times the idea of manhood has been so skewed that we have almost put virtue in this society on a man who's willing just to be molded in whatever shape the winds are blowing. I want to tell you, that's not a man. You young men, I want you to get a hold of something real. Something that settles it in your heart that this is right. And this is where I'm going because I have heard the voice of the Lord. And that's where I'm headed. And I want to tell you, this world needs a lot of young men like that. This nation needs a lot of young men like that who has God first. I want to tell you, the dress of our women will change if the men of this nation would have God as their head. You know, the women would lose their desire to expose their bodies because if godly men would be who they were, they would turn a blind eye to them and they'd not get any more attention. Women have some responsibility too. But I tell you, initially, God wants our men to be godly men. Be like a man. Be like a godly man. Stand up for God. Now, there are some things that God wants you and I to have founded deep within us. And the brother was talking about he knew the Lord saved him. I want to tell you also, I've had that experience too. And yes, there are some things about my life I don't have any desire to tell you about. Except this one. That the Lord sent His Holy Spirit like the hound of heaven that followed me. And He chased me until I had nowhere else to go. And I was cornered and treed. And I finally threw up my hands in my desperation. And I came before the Lord. And I want to tell you, I know the Lord, if I told you all my experience, it might be a little more than interesting to you. But I heard the Lord Himself rebuked the devil in my behalf, as Brother Clifford was talking about. The Lord Himself is strong enough to tell the devil to stand back. This is mine. This is what you and I need to have a foundation. We need to be founded on the no-so salvation, the Lord has saved me. Not in arrogance of saying, I am saved. Oh, there's a humility in knowing that we're saved. Knowing that the Lord Himself has delivered me, dug me from a pit of sin. God wants you and I to have something so real, so strong, and so firm that we can know that the God of heaven has delivered me. Watch you, stand fast in the faith, and quit you like men. Be strong. I'd like for us to consider David. You remember, and I know the time has gotten away, and my interest, I'll try to recount some of this. And you can find it in the Scripture over in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. We find here when David, as a young man, was sent to check on his brothers. And his brothers were at a place of war. There was a place where all the armies of Israel were gathered together. And in fear, there was one man stood up. And he, with all his grandeur and all his pomp and all his what do you call that when he comes out in boldness? All of it, he came out and challenged the whole army and said, send me a man, come out and fight. And you know what? They listened to his dictates. What they should have done is said, all right, we're all one man over here and we're coming to get you. When the devil challenges us, let's go after him. Yes. Gates of hell are supposed to have some offensive war here. We're supposed to have a war against the gates of hell. Now, here they were, all fearful and huddled together, and David comes to this situation. And when he gets there, he sees this situation. He hears the challenge of the... Yes, he was a giant. Folks, you're going to meet giants. Quit you like men. Here the giant issued his challenge, stood up there, and he was scary. Yes, he was. And David was a stripling. And he listened to that. And I think with expectation, he was saying, who's willing to say, let's go get him? Nobody said it. And he looks around. He says, I'll do it. And they said, oh, be quiet. You're just here. Folks, I want to tell you, when the Lord rises, and the Lord can use a young man, and the Lord wants some young men that He can count on and can use, that'll stand up and say, I'll do it. Not in our human strength. David knew he didn't have the ability in his human strength to match the giants. But this is one thing he knew. When he was out there by himself, he wasn't watching all the football games. He wasn't spending his time thinking of all the worldly things that went around him. Let me tell you what he was doing out there when he was tending the sheep. He was strumming on his harp, singing songs to the Lord. He was thinking about his father. That's where his attention was. And young men, put your thoughts and your attention on God. And in that situation, as he was singing songs to the Lord, tending his sheep, here came out of the woods a bear and grabbed a lamb. Something rose up within David. The Lord came on him. And he went over there and the Lord delivered that lamb into his hands. Because it was the Lord doing this. Then another time, I believe, when he was there tending the sheep, there came a lion out. I want to tell you, there's not any of us here, I don't believe, is willing to go out here and just stand up against a lion. I think we're going to be running into the house. But this lion had one of his lambs. There are some things that are precious, young men, that you shouldn't let go of. Shouldn't let go of. It's valuable enough to risk your life for. It is. This lion had a lamb in his mouth. And again, he went there because the Lord came upon him and inspired him. And he went over there and delivered the lamb out of his mouth. And now he comes with this experience of being faithful to the Lord. And now comes a giant. In all his pomp and show, in all his braggadocious ways, standing up there challenging. And what was it that David said? He looks like a bear and a lion to me. All he is an uncircumcised Philistine. Because the Lord said he is able. And you know what he did? Folks, this is one of the things that I think every one of us needs to learn. Symbolically, you remember as he passed over there toward the giant, he went by a stream. And he found him some smooth stones. You know, the Lord wants us to learn how to gather some smooth stones. Let me tell you how you get those. Young men, I'm sorry, I'm going to still talk to you. Young men, this is one of the most valuable things you'll learn in your life. To learn how to do warfare on your knees. One of the most valuable things you'll ever learn. Get down by the stream and start asking the Lord for some smooth stones. Lord, give me some ammunition. I need something down in my heart. I'm facing things I don't know how to deal with. I'm facing some giants in my life. These things are coming against me. And young men, doesn't take much at all to go downtown and you're going to see things that are giants that are probably war against your soul. But I want to tell you, you can get victories. Get down by the stream where the waters flow, where the Lord by His Holy Spirit is flowing through and He's smoothing up, giving you some ammunition, giving you something to go forward. And as David got up from there, he went there, not in, I'm coming against you and all that I've done in the past. That's not what he said. He said, I'm coming to you because you have defied the God of Israel. And I'm coming to Him, coming to you in His name. You know what? The giant fell because God did it. because God did it. Quit you like men. Act like men. Did you know women can do that too? Women can do that today. Act like men. I'm not talking about being mannish here. I'm not talking about being physically mannish. I'm talking there's some spiritual warfare that you can be victorious in. You can be as godly. You can be godly in spiritual warfare. You can be like a man. Stand up for what's right. But especially God puts this charge on our men. Over there, also in Job, and I'd like to turn to Samuel. Now this one isn't Job. The one I want to turn to here, I believe, is where Jonathan. There was a whole group of a garrison of Philistines. And they were, again, in a place where there was fear around. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to handle this situation. For one thing, Saul, Jonathan's father, had just done some things that he was told that the kingdom has departed. The Lord has departed from you. So they were not in a good position to deal with this at all. But Jonathan had something. And Jonathan snuck away from the group. The garrison of the Philistines was round about. Over in 1 Samuel, I'm sorry I didn't tell you, 14th chapter. And I want to begin reading maybe here with the 6th verse. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come and let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us." Then he says this, "For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." That's still true today. He wants somebody who is willing to lay down their life for him. "Lord, whatever you say, even if I don't see that there's safety, that I'm going to smooth through here and I'm going to come out of it without harm." I want to tell you, the three Hebrew children didn't know the results. They said the Lord will deliver us, but they didn't know how it was going to happen. They did it. They were willing to lay down their lives because God said it. And that's sufficient for every one of us here tonight. When the Lord reveals His truth to you and I, just grasp it, even at the peril of your life. Jonathan went over there and he said, "For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." And his armor bearer said to him, "Oh, we need some backup people. We need some good people. Oh, our wives, you young ladies, listen. When the Lord's stirring, when your husband or these men, when the Lord has given them something and there's the Lord talking with them, and they say, 'Oh, I think the Lord wants to do something here.' And if it is the Lord, you can see the touch of the Lord. You can say to him, 'I'm right behind you, husband. I'm right there.'" This armor bearer said, and that's not just for wives now. That's for every one of us. There's a place for us to be. "Brother, my hand's right here on your back. You're going to feel me right here." The armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that's in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thine heart. I'm knit with you. I'm right here." Now, they went over there and presented themselves to this garrison, the Philistines. And let's go on down. 12th verse. "And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, 'Come up to us, and we will show you a thing.' And Jonathan said to the armor bearer, 'That's our sign. Let's go. Come up before me. Come up after me. And the Lord has delivered them unto the hand of Israel.'" Now I want you to know, this is a garrison of Philistines. There were two men had decided, and this isn't a good strategic battle position. The others were on the upper position, and these were having to climb up the hill.
And Jonathan, it says, climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet. That's how steep this was. You can't win a battle like that. Not in human thinking. But this was more than human thinking. This was God Himself. Headed up here, and it says, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. In the space of about a half an acre, it said there was 20 men that the Lord. And the rest of them got so scared, they began to quake. Said the ground even shook, and they started running away. Said the whole crowd melted away. Said they went on beating down each other. You know why? Because a man heard the voice of the Lord and was willing at the peril of his life to take God at His word. Young man, hear the voice of the Lord. Take Him at His word. Go forward in Him. Let Him create manliness in you. Become a godly man. Manliness is not being hard-headed and stubborn. Manliness is one who is willing to be firm for the truth. It's described in the New Testament as being lively stones. A lively stone is one who's able to be touched by the hand of God, to be moved. A stone with the quality of a stone is one that's firm and solid. And He wants men to be firm and solid, but be willing to be touched and moved at the hand of God. Be lively stones. Be those type that the Lord can count on. Be one of them like Ananias. You remember the one who the Lord sent to Paul when he was over there blind, stricken with his blindness? Do you remember what the Lord did? He went to Ananias and said, Ananias, I've given somebody else a dream about you. I've told them you're coming. Before he ever said he would. God wants some men faithful enough that God can count on you. He can go and tell somebody else about you and said, he's coming before he ever told us. This is faithfulness. This is a lively stone. This is somebody who can be counted on, who the Lord can touch and move. And the Lord wants you and I to be that. Now, young ladies, I'm not leaving you out on this. Also, I'd like to go over in 2 Samuel now. Pick up another incident here. Again, this is where Job, 2 Samuel, the 10th chapter. Job and his brother, and the men of Israel there, they found themselves in a place where they were surrounded. The battle was on two fronts on them. That's not a good position to be in either. And they came to a place, the 10th chapter, the 12th verse, they split up their groups and had one group fight on this side, another on the other side. And the 12th verse said, Job said to his brother, be of good courage. Let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God. And the Lord do that which seemeth good. We need to come to a place of resignation that I want to be in the hands of the Lord and allow Him to do whatever He chooses. Young men, this is a place where we give ourselves unreservedly to the Lord and let Him have His way. Even if it's different than the choices that you have now. Even if it's different than the dreams you have now. I want to tell you today, give me a man who's willing to pray this prayer out of the depths of his heart. Give me a young man who says, let the Lord have His way, and I'll give you a young man that'll be used of God. And I'll give you a young man who will lose his hunger for the things of the world. I'll give me a man like that, and I'll show you one who God will glorify Himself through that young man. The Lord's able to use him. And I want to tell you, we're not talking just to young men here tonight. If you think you're getting by just because I'm saying young men, you're not. The Lord's talking to our older men too. The Lord wants you and I to be men who are God-conquered. Who are willingly God-conquered. He doesn't conquer us with a heavy, harsh hand. You know how He does it?
His love has perfectly broken my heart.
Yes,
and replaced it with a heart of flesh. One toward Him. That's what God wants you and I to be. Men, did you know our wives long for a man just like that? The world, young men, I want to tell you something too. Don't you know the girls that are watching you, they're longing for a man they can count on. They're longing for a man who will stand God conquered and honor God with his life. It'll bless your world. It'll bless your marriage. It'll bless your county, your state, your nation. God wants you and I to be men. Be like men. I want now to turn over into Esther. The fourth chapter. And we have an account here. You remember the story of Esther? She was thrust into this situation, probably mostly not of her choosing. But she found herself here, and she was enjoying really quite a bit of comfort at this point. A lot of things, a lot of other people's troubles were passing by her. She didn't really have to notice them. She was being protected in the king's house. She was the queen. And unbeknownst to her, there were people who hated the Jews. And there was a man who devised a plan to get rid of all the Jewish people in this area. Well, Esther had an uncle named Mordecai. Mordecai began to fast and pray. And in his fasting and praying, the news of that fasting, the sackcloth, the debasing of himself, humbling of himself before God, that news of that came to the ears of his niece. And Esther said, "Well, send him some clothes. We want him to be dressed right." He went down there to talk with him, and he sent back word, "We've got a problem." I'm putting this in my words. You can read this, the story here in Esther. 14th verse. Mordecai sent word, talked to his niece Esther, and said, "For if thou altogether hold thy peace at this time, then shall there enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." Mordecai had faith that the Lord was able still yet to deliver. But he was saying, if you hold your peace, the Lord will have to have another way. But the Lord's desire is for you to stand up. Young ladies, this is a woman acting like a man in spiritual battle. Now, here she came to this place, But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Then Esther bade them return to Mordecai this answer. He said, "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days. Night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law." And then she says this, "If I perish, I perish." How much does it mean to you? How much does it mean to you? Can we frivolously say this is all about volleyball and playing? I'm glad we can have fun, but folks, there's something a whole lot more than having fun.
That's right.
You know what this is all about? This is about eternal value. You are making decisions right now, whether young or old here tonight. We are making decisions right now that have eternal consequence. And God is pleading with you and I to humble our hearts. I want to tell you what, a godly man is one who's able to humble himself under the mighty hand of God. God wants you and I to value Him and His ways enough that I'm willing to cut all free. I'm willing to say, I don't care what it costs me. If I perish, I perish. Because this is right. I give myself to Thee. Lord, I care not for myself any longer. Let me tell you a little bit about my experience. I came to a point in my desperation when I walked up to myself in the flesh. I came to a point of desperation when I felt like there all my hope had leaked out. And my life was a miserable existence. And I began to feel the devil gives this to, implants this in people's minds, that the best thing to do was just end it because the misery would be better if you ended your life. And that was something the devil tried to convince me of. What a terrible lie. But I want you to know that in that place, the God of heaven realized that He knew that I was in desperate straits. And by His love, He came down and pursued me. Came to a place where I was willing to say, I have nothing to give You anyway, Lord. And He said, I know that. But He said, if You'll give me the ashes that You have, I'll give You beauty in return. And I want to recommend this to you tonight. You really have nothing anyway if you don't have the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
You really have nothing. And I want to tell you, as the Lord reveals His glory and His love for you, and you begin to assess yourself and realize that all my worldly endeavors, all my dreams, my thoughts that have pursuit of the things of the world, when that begins to lose its power and you realize that it's really worthless, it's nothing but just filthiness of the world, when you begin to realize that you have nothing, there stands God. And He says, are you laboring? Are you hungry? And He says, come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And you'll find rest to your soul. And you're going to find purpose of life. You'll have a foundation to build a life on. You'll have a foundation to have a home on, a marriage, and to raise children on. And without that foundation, I want to submit to you tonight, you will probably have failure if you don't have that foundation. I want to recommend to you tonight Jesus Christ. I want to ask you tonight, where is the man? Where is the woman that will say tonight, let the Lord have His way. Or if I perish, I perish. It's right. Will you cut free all preconceived notions? All thoughts of what it's going to cost me? Let me tell you, if I perish, I perish. This is right. This is what I want. I need, every one of us needs the Lord in our life. Without Him, we're eternally doomed. But God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, young man, tonight, will you give your heart to God? Give of the best of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Give Him your soul's glowing ardor. Join in the battle for truth. Be a young man who stands God conquered, who's in love with God more than you are with yourself.
That's right.
Who's willing to say, this is right, and I lay down my life willingly because the love of God has conquered me. Pray for me. I want to make heaven, and I want you to too.